Welcome back to the Coffee, Cake, and Kegels podcast. I'm your host, Stacey, and today's episode is about women and alcohol. So with that said, I'm going to talk a little bit about why I gave up drinking. So here we go. Just to give you a brief background of my upbringing, I am Italian, Spanish, and Greek. And alcohol has always been a prevalent, pastime in my family. With the Italian side, you always had wine flowing. And with the Spanish and Greek side, you always had some shots of ouzo or something of that nature. So my grandfather owned a liquor store. And my grandmother was an alcoholic on my mother's side of the family. She also did battle mental illness, and usually alcoholism and mental illness do go hand in hand. So with that said, you know, I was always around alcohol. I mean, I guess you could say I had my first taste of alcohol when I was an infant and I was teething, because in my family, they believed that by rubbing anisette on the gums of babies would help them with the pain of teething. And now today, I would never in a million years ever think to do that to a baby. I mean, even my own children, I never thought to do that, because I'm like, that's, you know, that can't be good. And as I got older, alcohol was just so normalized in my family. It really wasn't like a big deal. I remember having a drink when I was 5 years old. It was New Year's Eve. My mom and dad were out at a party, and I was with my sisters, who are 10 and 8 years older than myself, and with other aunts and uncles who, some of them, never even had children. So they let me drink champagne, and I remember being drunk at 5 years old. And then again, as life continued on, I was 13 years old in eighth grade drinking 40s with my friends, because the convenience store in our neighborhood allowed us to get 40s. I mean, sick if you really think about it. And so, you know, as time progressed, high school came and I threw house parties and I drank. I drank so much at one point I blacked out and I fell down a flight of stairs into my basement and didn't know I did it. Had no clue. And at that point, I drank to fit in. I drank to feel comfortable in my own skin. I drank to numb a lot of emotional issues I had been having. And then, of course, college years came and I was a binge drinker. I would go into my parents' basement. They had a fully stocked bar. And I would throw back shots before my friends and I went out, because I wanted to feel more loose and comfortable when I got to the club or whatever it was, wherever we were going. And so, you know, I was always drinking. Would I say I was an alcoholic? No. Was I on the verge of becoming one had I not felt the need to stop drinking or felt the need to scale back? Absolutely. So, you know, in essence, alcohol was always a thing. It was, you know, always something. I remember posting on Facebook how I had no kids for the night and I was just so excited to eat my salad in peace and my wine. Well, not eat my wine, but you know what I mean. I just couldn't wait to have my wine in peace. And I found myself getting sucked into this toxic, you know, mom wine culture. In fact, I had a friend who every time she'd come over, she would literally bring a bottle of wine. And I'm not talking like a 4-glass bottle. She would bring over the big bottle. And we would drink the whole thing while we were with our children. And then she had to drive home with her children. So, you know, this is what I wound up finding myself being a part of, you know. And think of all, like, the jokes about moms and drinking. you know, where you see like a woman sitting with a super large, like obnoxiously large wine glass, and, you know, Rough Day with the Kids, you know, is the, you know, the title. Or you see women doing yoga and drinking, you know, and we laugh at these things, but are they funny? You know, in the 70s and 80s, alcohol commercials were geared towards men. They were not geared towards women at all. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, just like there's big pharma, there's big tobacco, there's big alcohol. They were like, how can we lure in women? How could we normalize drinking for women? Ah, we know. Let's show them how liberating it is. How they could be just like men. They could have a long day, you know. Plus, it's more difficult for women because not only do they work full time, but they also have children. And, you know, God knows you can't bear to deal with those offspring. So let's kick back and have drinks. It'll make you feel better. It's fun. But is it? Waking up with a hangover really isn't fun. So what happened to me was I decided to go back to school to become a substance abuse counselor. Excuse me. And in doing so, I had to take neurochemistry of addiction. Now, I never really cared for, obviously, recreational drugs. I, you know, maybe smoked pot on occasion in college a few times, you know, here or there. Maybe had a few gummies here or there. But I never really was like a big pot person or any other kind of recreational drug person. I didn't take any other recreational drugs because I had drug addicts living in my family and I saw what addiction did to my loved ones. But when I took this neurochemistry class, we learned about what alcohol does to the body and to the brain. And I'm not gonna lie, I was still drinking at the time, you know, occasionally. But even that became gross to me. I was like, oh my God, I'm putting a poison in my body. Holy crap. And so I decided to give up drinking. I decided that it really wasn't beneficial for me. And, you know, little did I know, I was also on the verge of a spiritual awakening. So when that's happening, you know, I was going through the dark night of the soul prior to this. But also, I was still on that journey, and I was still awakening and, you know, growing. And when that happens, a lot of times, alcohol just doesn't resonate with us anymore. A lot of things don't resonate with us anymore. We're on that kind of journey. So, you know, I decided to just stop drinking. And I never forget going out to dinner with couples. We were in Manhattan. We went to a really, really delicious steakhouse in New York City. And my husband and I decided that we weren't really going to... Well, I think he had a drink, but I was like, I'm not drinking. So I was with these other women who were also moms. And they were all at the bar getting their drink. And one mom looked at me and she said, "You're not drinking?" And I said to her, "No." She said, "Do you have children?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. I have two." She's like, "Oh my God, God bless you. How do you do it? What's your secret?" And I just looked at her and I was like, "I don't know." You know, I mean, I don't know. I never had to rely on something to get me through the day. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was on medication after I had my daughter. I was, you know, postpartum depression. And I stayed on that medication for almost 6 years, and it gave me back my life. It, you know, definitely served a purpose when I needed it to, you know, but I didn't look at it as a means to cope with children. I was medicated as a means to cope with myself. And that's what I find is what we're really doing when we drink. We're not coping with anything. We're numbing ourselves, or we are masking what's truly happening in our lives, using some kind of tactic to kind of get us out of it. That's what's happening with alcohol. You know, that's not obviously happening with medication, but that's what's happening with alcohol. So I really, you know, and it would be all the time. You'd go out with people and they'd be like, so what are you drinking? I'm not drinking. Oh my God, you don't drink? People don't stop to even think, like, could this person be in recovery? Maybe I could be triggering them. People do not think. They do not think before they speak, and I think we all know this. So, what has been going on in this country is that, you know, drinking, especially for women, has been glorified. It's, you know, it's drinking along with the inability of women being able to cope with motherhood and working. So it's like, okay, this is the panacea for you being a mom, you having to work. And that's bullshit. I'm sorry. You know, in the 70s, it was mommy's little helper, or in the 60s, you know, mommy's little helper or whatever, which was Valium, which was highly addictive. And, you know, Valium is a benzodiazepine, and you can't just stop taking it. You will have seizures. So imagine the harm, and I'm going to say it, and you might not agree with me, and that's okay, the attack on women. That's what's been going on. Just keep them, make them sicker, make them more complacent, make them angrier. That's what's been happening here. So during the pandemic, women increased their episodes of heavy drinking. I think we all know that. The pandemic obviously raised a lot of fear in people. Not to mention, moms who were used to working full time were now stuck at home with their children. And I'm gonna tell you, I've been on both ends. I've been a working mom and I've been a stay-at-home mom. And I can tell you that being a stay-at-home mom is much more difficult. It's not easy. It is not easy by any means dealing with children all day when you're not used to that. You know, dealing with adults is a whole different ballgame, but when you're dealing with children, it's a different animal. It's a different beast and it's hard. So now you had women who were used to being out of the home, stuck in the home. And not only were they stuck in the home, they were fulfilling their job as well as being a teacher, a lunch lady, you know, everything else for their children, a mother on top of it. It was a lot. It was a lot. And a lot of women turned to something to kind of numb or ease that tension, that pain, whatever. I mean, think of all the women who were stuck home with abusive husbands during the pandemic. So it was a lot. And I totally get that. But as you know, I don't think alcohol is the right way to handle anything. But then again, you know, as a substance abuse counselor, no substance is a good way to handle anything. So, but during the pandemic, these episodes of drinking heavily increased and by 41%. And heavy drinking episodes are usually four glasses, like four or more drinks within a couple of hours. But let's break that down. One glass of wine is 4 ounces. I don't know. Do you know anyone having 4 ounces of wine? No, right? So people, I mean, I had a friend who would literally, the same friend who would drink all that wine, she would drink a solo cup, 2 of them a night. Solo cups are like 12 ounce cups, sometimes larger. And you're drinking four, even more than 4 glasses of wine in just like 3 hours. So, you know, no one's really having 4 ounces of wine. No one is. So basically, this also now led to issues and you know, an uptick in alcohol-related issues in hospitals. So 30 to 50% increase of women going into hospitals, you know, having some kind of alcoholism related issue, be it, you know, they hurt themselves while drinking, or they were they had alcohol poisoning. So that's a scary number. I mean, that's a scary uptick, you know, for that in regards to alcohol. And between 1999 and 2017, alcohol related deaths among women in the United States rose 85%. 85%. That's huge. That's tremendous. What are we doing wrong? Why did we take the bait? And this is not a new issue. It's just not talked about, but it really is not a new issue that's happening. Because in 2013, more than 1 million women of all races wound up in the ER for heavy drinking. So clearly this is not something that just started happening. This is the new norm. And when I say norm, because it's normalized on social media, it's normalized on TV in the commercials. It's normalized everywhere. Every movie you watch, it's like mom's getting wasted. Mom's always having a glass of wine in their hands because, you know, that's how they unwind. In fact, there was a movie with Amy Schumer, who I'm not a big fan of, called Trainwreck. And in the movie, she's guzzling a box of wine, and the brand was Bandit. And this particular scene created such a stir on social media. It was all young women capturing themselves guzzling this boxed wine. And they even had a hashtag, binge in a box. Binge in a box. So do you see the normalization of it? It's not even about normalizing. What it is it's a poison. It's the deadliest poison. It's the deadliest drug. And this is what people don't understand, especially young people who are going out and they're binge drinking every weekend. Drinking has emotional health issues, physical health issues, spiritual health issues, even the health of the family becomes compromised. So what do I mean by that? When you are always home drinking wine, it's sending a message. It's sending a message to your children that you need something always to pacify you, that you need something to cope. And that's not a healthy way of coping. I could see if you like to have a glass of wine occasionally. That's fine. I mean, you know, I don't judge anybody who does any substances because obviously that was my line of work. And I truly do understand the nature and the disease of addiction. So, and I was no saint by any means, as I was telling you, I was a binge drinker in college. So I by no means would ever judge anybody for drinking. But the point of this episode is to tell you why I stopped drinking, to educate you on the dangers of alcohol, but also to start the conversation within yourself to reevaluate your relationship with alcohol. That's my purpose for today. So let's talk about what alcohol does to the body. So women who consume just one drink per day have a 5 to 9% higher breast cancer risk than women who don't drink at all. When people would go into detox, now, I don't know if you understand this or you ever knew this before, but if you are detoxing from, let's say, heroin, it will not kill you. You might feel like you're dying, but it doesn't kill you. However, detoxing from alcohol on your own, if you are an alcoholic, can kill you because it's the deadliest substance. It is. Alcohol affects every single system in the body. It does not just affect, let's say, the lungs. So like heroin, it works on the respiratory system, but also the brain, the dopamine receptor. alcohol, not only it does the brain, it works on the liver, it works on the kidneys, it works on the heart, it works on every system in the body. So, so different than, honestly, your street drugs. And yet it's legal. Go figure. So chronic alcohol use increases blood pressure. It's a leading cause of heart disease. Even just one night of drinking will increase your risk of heart disease. That's scary. And this happens because it decreases fluid in the body and it causes your heart to have to work harder for you. Not to mention what it does to the liver. And most women I've known in my life who were heavy drinkers have hormonal imbalances. Because where are your hormones filtered and processed? In your liver. So, you know, it also causes gut issues and it makes it very, very difficult for you to absorb nutrients. So these are just some of the things that it does to the body. And, you know, it's funny because so many women I know have told me, I needed to go to sleep. It really helps me go to sleep at night. That's my dog drinking water. It really helps me go to sleep at night. And, you know, you're like, okay, but let me explain what happens to your brain when you drink. You get tired, right? That feeling of tired, like that feeling overcomes you. You're like, oh my God, I can go right to bed. And then you're up 3 hours later, wide awake. The reason why you get tired while you're drinking is because your brain is sending a message to the rest of your body saying, shut it down. Poison, we have to detox. We have to get this body up and running again. So let's shut it down. So it shuts everything down. You get tired and you want to go to sleep. So your body's in a rested state while it's detoxing everything for you. That's when your liver does the most work, by the way, is when you're sleeping. So if you get up between, just in general, this is like not about alcohol, but if you get up between like 2 and 4, like those are your times where you like kind of like wake up, that's your liver speaking. So that's your liver saying like, oh, I need help here. So just imagine when you drink, you get that like 3 hour burst of sleep. You felt like you slept like a rock. You really were not sleeping. You were not in a REM state. It was your brain shutting everything down for you to heal the body. So that's what alcohol does. And it's really crazy how intelligent and miraculous our bodies are, because they're always trying to heal us, even though we don't always believe it. They're doing it. So, you know, these are like, when I learned this in school, I was like, oh my God, I am done drinking. And I really did. I quit. I, you know, once in a blue moon, I may have a little sip of sangria to taste it. But it's just, it doesn't resonate. It does not resonate with me at all. And after I had my explant surgery, I said to myself, you know what I could go for? I can go for pasta with pesto sauce, because this was always my go-to. Pasta with pesto and a glass of Pinot Noir, which is a red wine, if you don't know. And I never forget, my husband went to the store. He got me like a good bottle of Pinot Noir, and I couldn't wait to, you know, to have a glass. You know, I'm like, oh my God, my implants are out. I'm on the healing path. I'm celebrating with this glass of wine, whole thing, whatever. I literally put the wine to my lips and I spit it back into the cup. It tasted like poison to me. And that's how I knew that I'm done. Like, I'm done. I'm actually tasting the poison. It never used to taste like that to me. It used to taste really delicious. And now to me, it tastes like something I shouldn't be having. So, which leads me to the spiritual reasons of why I don't drink. So alcohol in Arabic is al-kul, A-L-K-U-H-L. And if you break it down, that means body-eating spirit. So what alcohol in essence is doing, when we consume alcohol, we are extracting the soul essence of our body. And our body becomes so polluted with toxins that our spirit has no choice but to leave until conditions have gotten better. But when this happens, this allows other lower vibrations to enter the body. And this is why we see when people drink, sometimes they're really angry. They're really angry, you know, the term angry drunk, or someone's really happy, or someone commits a crime or commits rape. Something they normally wouldn't do if they hadn't been drinking. It's because their vibration has been lowered so much that something else has inhabited them. And that's why another reason why I'm like, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing it because I am an empath. I am very susceptible to other vibrations, to other entities. I know when there's an entity around, you know? I know when there's something not good around, and I know when there's something okay around. I just actually yesterday went to a wake, and my neighbor's husband had passed away. And I didn't know him like this. I mean, I knew him, you know, knew him, talked to him, whatever, here and there, very nice man, but I didn't know him on this level. And at the wake, sure enough, he was speaking to me. He was telling me how he didn't even like half the people there and how he didn't like his daughter-in-law. So, I mean, I did laugh. I chuckled because I'm like, oh my goodness, you know? But this is what I'm saying. So I'm susceptible to that. And I think back to the times where I used to get blackout drunk, like where I would binge drink and, you know, not remember things. And I'm like, wow, what was inhabiting me then? You know, I think back to like the bouts of depression and all that stuff where I never felt like myself. Probably because I wasn't. So, you know, there's a reason why alcohol is called spirits. So, you know, there's a reason. And it really does make you lose your moral compass. Like I said, it could cause rage. You can lose, you know, losing your innocence. You could be out of control. And yeah, of course, it offers an escape. And it does offer happiness, but it's short-lived. And your problems will still be there the next day. Your shitty marriage will still be there. You know, your lack of self-love still gonna be there. It's not gonna make a difference. So I find that alcohol really numbs your authentic self. And like I said, it does lower your vibrational frequency. And it really lowers your ability to step into your power or to take your power back. Because a lot of times people drink to numb, to feel nothing, and that's also a loss of control. We have control. Every day we have choices. We wake up, we could choose to be angry, we could choose to feel guilt, we could choose to feel sadness, we could choose to feel joy. They're all choices we make. So I know the holidays are upon us, and you know, this is a season where people want to have fun, you know, they want to bring in good cheer and drink and whatever else. And I'm not telling you not to by any means, and I'm not judging you if you do. After all, I can't see you, or can I? No, I'm just kidding. But my goal with this episode is to just shed light, to educate you, and to start having the conversation with yourself, or maybe even a loved one who you know drinks a little too much. You know, maybe they're the person in the family who everyone's like, oh God, Aunt so-and-so is going to get wasted on Christmas. Maybe it's time for us to get real with ourselves and with the people we love and have this conversation. What is your relationship to alcohol? Is it serving your highest and best good? And if so, how? So thanks again for listening, as always.